2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at kslpodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
This is Religion Today with Martin Tanner, a weekly look at religion and spirituality here at home and around the world. Now, here's your host, Martin Tanner.
Welcome. This is Easter Sunday, and I'm so pleased to be here. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. Easter is my favorite holiday. I appreciate it and love it much more than Christmas. Christmas is a beautiful time of year, but to me, there's nothing more special than Easter or Resurrection Sunday, as the early Christians used to call it. Today, a little bit about the meaning of resurrection, especially for early Christians, for us today, and then, of course, about the resurrection of Jesus. The word resurrection comes to us from Latin and literally means to rise up again or to stand up a second time. Resurrection isn't just coming back to life. It means the reuniting of the physical body and spirit forever. Let me distinguish between bringing back to life and being resurrected. There are several examples from the Old Testament where someone is brought back to life, but they weren't resurrected. The widow of Zarephath's son in 1 Kings chapter 17, starting in verse 17, going through verse 24. Elijah brings this woman's son who died back to life, but he wasn't resurrected. The Shunammite woman's son in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 18. Similar story, different prophet. This time Elisha brings a dead boy back to life. Again, he was not resurrected. He was just brought back to life. There's an Israelite man in the Old Testament, 2 Kings chapter 13. The description starts in verse 20. He wasn't resurrected, but he was brought back to life. We have similar accounts in the New Testament of people being brought back to life, but not resurrected. Jesus himself brought back from the dead the son of the widow of Nain in Luke chapter 7. Jesus brought back to life the daughter of Jairus in Luke chapter 8, starting in verse 49. He raised Lazarus from the dead in the Gospel of John in chapter 11, which is one of the most amazing stories of the New Testament. Peter raised Tabitha from the dead in Acts chapter 9, starting in verse 36. And then we have Paul raising from the dead a man who fell off a wall and died from the impact in Acts chapter 20, starting in verse 7. Now, you'll notice that in every one of these accounts, it doesn't say, and they came back, they had a perfected body, they never grew old, never died again. It's just not there, because this was not a resurrection story. These people all came back, grew to old age, or died at a different time for some other reason. And here's where I parenthetically want to add something. In some circles, and I'm not going to specify because I don't want to give anyone notoriety here, it's all the rage today to somehow say you believe in Christianity, in Jesus, and in reincarnation. Well, don't be fooled. This really doesn't work. Jesus didn't go to India. He didn't learn about reincarnation. He never taught it. Here's the problem with that idea. With reincarnation, you die. You lose one body only to be reborn again over and over again in a different body each time. With the Christian and Jewish belief in resurrection, You are resurrected into the body you have in this life, perfected and permanently yours. There are no prior. There are no subsequent bodies. And you can't have it both ways. You can't somehow believe in being born over and over again, or Jesus being born over and over again in the past or in the future, and also at the same time, believe in one permanent resurrection. It just doesn't work. So you have to decide. I personally believe the people who think they have seen a past life or a future life are talking perhaps about a near-death experience or some vision or something where they saw the pre-existence or they saw a vision of the future and the progression into the future. We all believe in eternal progression in one form or another. All right, let's move on. The concept of resurrection is something that is really important. It's found in the Old Testament in a few places. It's also found in the Apocrypha and 2 Maccabees, the Book of Enoch, the Apocalypse of Baruch, and in 2 Esdras. It is the central belief in Christianity, along with obeying God's commandments and living correctly as Jesus would have you, and it's found in many places in the New Testament. Let's first take a quick look at the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, you have Job chapter 19, which is absolutely beautiful. Starting in verse 23, here are Job's words from the contemporary English version. Quote, "I wish that my words could be written down or chiseled into rock. I know that my Savior lives, and at the end times he will stand on this earth. My flesh may be destroyed by worms, yet from the vantage point of this very body, I will see God. Yes, I will see him for myself, and I long for that moment." Close quote. What beautiful words from Job. Daniel chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, again from the contemporary English version, quote, "Michael, the chief angel, is the protector of your people, and he will come at a time of terrible suffering, the worst in all history, and your people who have their names written in the book of life will be protected. Many of those who lie dead in the ground will rise from death. Some of them will be given eternal life, and others will receive nothing but eternal shame and disgrace. Everyone who has been wise will shine as bright as the sky above, and everyone who has led others to please God will shine like the stars." Close quote. Beautiful statements about resurrection, although few and far between, are found in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, we have some beautiful statements about the resurrection, in addition to Jesus, of others. In Matthew chapter 27, verses 52 and 53, we have the idea that the graves will be opened and, or that the graves were opened and many Christians were resurrected after Jesus had risen. They came out of their graves and went into the holy city, Jerusalem, where they were seen by many people. We have also in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 35, this amazing and often overlooked verse. Quote, "Some women received their loved ones back from death. Many of these people were tortured, but they refused to be released. They were sure that they would get a better reward in the resurrection." Close quote. They received their loved ones back from death. That's a clear statement about resurrection. Then we have the vision of Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 16. It talks about how there's going to be the blast of a trumpet that happens at the loud command of the chief angel. Sounds a lot like what Daniel, the prophet, had recounted there. Quote, "Then the dead Christians will be resurrected. Next of all, us who are still alive will be taken up into the clouds together with them to meet the Lord in the sky. From that time on, we will all be with the Lord forever." Paul's statement that we will all be with Jesus after the beginning of the first resurrection. When we come back, more about the concept of resurrection from the New Testament and about the resurrection of Jesus. Stay tuned on this beautiful Easter Sunday. If you have a question or comment about this show, send me an email. Send it to martinstanner@gmail.com. martinstanner@gmail.com. I'll be happy to respond.
Religion Today with Martin Tanner continues on KSL News Radio 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Welcome back. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today. And happy Easter to all of you. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, has this idea in it. This is, of course, from the Apostle Paul. Quote, Christ has shown me that what I once thought was valuable is worthless. Nothing is as wonderful as knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. I have given up everything else and count it all as garbage. All I want is Christ and to know that I belong to him. All I want is to know Christ and the power that raised him back to life. I want to suffer and die as he did so that somehow I also may be resurrected someday. That's the testimony of the Apostle Paul. So let's talk about Jesus' resurrection and perhaps some of the details that make the accounts more believable than you might have noticed before. Let's go specifically to the Gospel of John chapter 19, because in the Gospel of John, which according to tradition was written by the Apostle John, we have details that tell us that this is a personal account. And this is quite amazing. Starting in verse 38, says that Joseph from Arimathea, who was one of Jesus' disciples, although in secret because he was afraid of the Jewish leaders, had a tomb. And he asked Pilate to let him have Jesus' body. So Pilate gave him permission. And Joseph of Arimathea took down Jesus' body from the cross. In verse 39, Nicodemus also came with about 75 pounds of spices made from myrrh and aloes. This was the same Nicodemus who had visited Jesus one night. Now let's stop for a minute. 75 pounds of spices made from myrrh and aloes. Somebody was an eyewitness observer here. You don't just come up with that number. Now, of course, that's been translated into English. The word wasn't 75 pounds, or this wasn't something in pounds. But the point here is that this is an eyewitness who knows exactly how much was used. And by the way, that's a lot. When Jesus was wrapped in a linen cloth in verse 40 of John 19, then together with the myrrh, the aloes were spread all over his body. Now, 75 pounds is a lot. And that would make it so Jesus was completely covered. And it also makes it so that for anyone who might have any doubt, having read a few books to the contrary, like Crossan and a few others, that Jesus really was dead. He wasn't sleeping. He wasn't in a coma, because you couldn't breathe through 75 pounds of aloes if it were put all over your body. He was placed in a tomb that had never been used, it says in verse 41. And the tomb was nearby. Why? Because it was time to get ready for the Sabbath, which starts at sundown on Friday. Verse 60. Now we're in Matthew chapter 27, verse 60. Then Joseph of Arimathea put the body in his own tomb that had been cut into solid rock, that had never been used, and he rolled a big stone against the entrance, and he went away. All this time, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting across from the tomb. Now notice that there's already a stone over the entrance. What do we know? We know in verse 62 that the next day was the Sabbath, and the chief priests and the Pharisees went together to Pilate, and they said, verse 63, "Sir, remember what that liar said while he was still alive. He claimed that in 3 days he would come back from death." Verse 64 of Matthew 27. "So please order the tomb to be carefully guarded for 3 days. If you don't, his disciples may come steal his body. They will tell the people that he has been raised to life, and this last lie will be worse than the first." So Pilate says, "Okay, take some of the soldiers and guard the tomb as well as you know how." And then verse 66, "And so they sealed it tight and placed soldiers there to guard it." Query, if the stone was already against the door, how did they seal it tight in verse 66? Answer, this was an official Roman seal. What had happened here was that this enormous stone was already rolled in front of the door, and then there was a seal of wax that was placed between the stone and the rock wall to seal it so anyone could tell if it had been disturbed or moved. And who were the soldiers guarding it? These were soldiers who were the elite of their day. These were Roman soldiers. And what happened? Sometime on the second night in the morning of the third day, they got scared and ran away. Something impressive happened. That would be no less miraculous and unimaginable than to say the Marines were stationed at the door and they ran away. The Navy SEALs were placed at the door and they ran away. The Green Berets were stationed at the tomb entrance and they ran away. Why would they run away? They wouldn't have been afraid of Jesus' followers. They wouldn't have been afraid of any opposing forces. There were none. Something happened in the tomb that frightened the most resilient and the toughest military soldiers of that day. Military soldiers who worked for Rome were conscripted into the army for typically between 15 and 27 years. They were used to fighting. They saw death. Nothing frightened them. And yet something frightened them the night and the morning that Jesus rose from the tomb. I believe it was the resurrection of Christ, that it was so miraculous and apparent that it frightened them literally away. And then we read, going back to John chapter 20, that when Jesus had been resurrected and frightened the soldiers away, that there was this interesting time, starting at the beginning of John chapter 20. On Sunday morning, Mary Magdalene goes to the tomb. She sees that the stone had been rolled away. So she ran back, and Peter and Jesus' favorite disciple, this is John who's telling the story, ran side by side in John chapter 20, verse 4. They ran side by side until, I guess John's a little faster, maybe a little younger than Peter, and so he gets there first. And he bends in and sees the strips of linen cloth lying inside the tomb. He doesn't go in. But impetuous Peter goes right in, and he sees the strips of cloth, the pieces of cloth that were used to cover Jesus' face, and it was all rolled up and placed by itself, it says in verse 7 of chapter 20. And then what happened was John, in John chapter 20, verse 8, says he looked into the tomb, and when he saw, he believed. And it was at that time that they understood that he had come back from the dead. Now, many of you have heard accounts over the years of Jesus' resurrection. I have sought out and heard many people who have seen him firsthand accounts which I believe. I also believe the New Testament accounts that he is risen. And I leave you with that bright hope for all of us on this beautiful Easter Sunday. May God bless us all as we put our eye to Christ and believe in his resurrection. Join me again next week. I'm Martin Tanner. This is Religion Today.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.